Turn in your Bibles to the passage that was read earlier in the service, Acts chapter 11. And my text tonight is found in the verse 18 of that chapter 11. And specifically, the final phrase in verse 18. Acts chapter 11 and the verse 18, where we read, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Let's just seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask that as we come to Thy Word now, that Lord, You will give special help, and Lord, Your grace will be given not only in the preaching but also in the hearing of the Word. And we pray that, Lord, the voice of God will come effectually this evening, we ask, and speak to sinners, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this verse 18 of Acts chapter 11 comes at the close of a landmark event in the life of the New Testament church. Reading through chapter 10, we find that it records how the Apostle Peter received revelation from God that the Gentiles were included in God's purpose of salvation. At the very same time that that occurred, the Lord was also working in the life of a Gentile, a Roman centurion named Cornelius. It was revealed to him by the Lord that he was to send for Peter, that he might come and instruct him and his family in the word. And so this event shows to us that the Spirit of God was working in these two men in order to bring them together, that the word of God would be preached to the Gentiles. And the chapter reveals that Peter then went to the home of Cornelius, and when he was present amongst them, he preached the gospel to them. And these people, Cornelius and his family, were converted to Jesus Christ. Now, there is no doubt that it was a genuine saving work of God, because we read that these people believed the word and the Spirit of God fell upon them. You look with me in the verse 17 of Acts 11 as Peter is reporting. He says, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us," and he's referring to the gift of the Spirit being poured out upon the New Testament church. He says that God gave unto them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit was poured out upon those who believed in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, these words show to us that this was a genuine work of God. He truly came down and saved these Gentiles. And yet we read in chapter 11 that a number of the believing Jews in Jerusalem, when they heard of this, they questioned Peter's actions, to the extent that he had to explain to them what had actually occurred. And he did so in great detail. Look in verse 4 of chapter 11. "But Peter rehearsed," or he explained the matter from the beginning, "and expounded it by order unto them." He went through all that had happened. And as he does so, the Jews realize that God has done a genuine work. They are satisfied that this really is a work of God, that God has saved these people. They are convinced that these Gentiles have experienced genuine saving graces, those graces of repentance and faith in Christ. And so they say in verse 18, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." This statement here in verse 18 indicates that repentance is an essential part of conversion. As I said, the Jews here were convinced this is a genuine work of God, and by saying this here, God has granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. They are saying that repentance is an essential part of conversion. You see, the salvation that these Gentiles had received was evidenced by the fact that they did repent. Not only is repentance an essential part of the gospel message, but it is also a necessary response to the gospel. As the gospel is preached, the appropriate response to it is repentance of sin. In other words, we can summarize these words in verse 18 in this manner, that you cannot be saved unless you repent. You cannot be saved unless you repent. Did not our Lord Jesus Christ say, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish"? And the context of those words were men and women coming to him and saying, "Here are people who have died. Is this a manifestation of the judgment of God?" And Christ's response to them is, "If you have not repented, then you too are going to perish." And therefore tonight, as I focus upon this subject of repentance, do not try to deflect the matter away from you, as is the case with so many, who when they hear the message of repentance, they look at other people and in other countries or whatever the matter is, and they say, there's a message for them. And yet they do not realize that it is a message that comes to the heart of the individual. And therefore, sinner, this is something that you must do. You must repent. And God's word commands you to do so. And failure to confess your sin and to forsake it in order that you might embrace Jesus Christ, failure to do so will result in your eternal damnation. Is it not true that our Savior, when he began his public ministry, began by preaching, "Repent and believe the gospel"? And therefore, dear sinner, tonight, you need to heed what our Savior preached. Not only hear it, but heed it. And conform yourself to this message that demands of you tonight that you repent of your sin. I want to consider from this text repentance unto life. And I want you to see with me firstly that repentance is a gift. Repentance is a gift. We read in our text, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." The word "granted" here is important. It means to give, to supply, to furnish with necessary things. I want you to turn with me to Acts 5. Turn back a few pages to Acts 5, where the words "to give" are exactly the same word as "granted" in our text tonight. Acts chapter 5 and the verse 31. Acts 5 and the verse 31. Peter here is speaking. He says, "Him, that is Christ, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior." And notice these words, "for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And there again, we're seeing what we have noted here in our text, that repentance is a gift. It is granted to those who do not possess it. It is given. In other words, repentance is not something that the natural man does. Do you understand what I've just said? Repentance is not something that the natural man does. Repentance, therefore, is a gift from God. It comes from God. Look at our text. Then hath God granted. And what a humbling thought that is tonight. That man cannot contribute a single thing to his salvation. If it was not for the Lord granting repentance to unworthy sinners, no one would be saved. If it was not for God condescending and in mercy giving this gift, no one would experience this grace of repentance. You see, due to man's sinful and corrupt heart, man is incapable of producing any good works that are pleasing to God, is incapable of earning any merit for himself. And you think of what the Apostle Paul said to the Philippian believers. He said, unto you is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And do you see it again? Unto you is given. You see, God grants and gives repentance to sinners. And he does so by his grace. We are told in the Word of God, by grace ye are saved. And that includes repentance. And therefore, when a sinner repents, it is evidence that God has been gracious to that sinner. And does that not then tell you, dear sinner, tonight, that you should be pleading to God that he would be gracious to you? That his grace would be shown to you. That you too would receive this gift of repentance because it comes from God. But then as well, the gift of repentance, and I might sound as though I'm repeating myself, but listen to me carefully. The gift of repentance is given to sinners. Is that not a marvelous thought? That God would give the gift of repentance to the very ones who have sinned against him. You look very carefully in our text. It says, then hath God also to the Gentiles. The Gentiles. These are people who are non-Jews. A people whom the Apostle Paul described as being without Christ, without hope, without God in the world. And what an awful description, what a hopeless description of a people who God is saying they had no hope of salvation. And yet it was to these very people that the gospel came. And these people who formerly without Christ, without hope and without God, they experienced God's grace. And sinner tonight, that should thrill your soul. That those who are without hope and without Christ, they can experience God's grace. Do you realize tonight that you are in the very same condition? And yet you, yes you tonight, can experience God's forgiveness and God's salvation. And look again very carefully at our text. It says, then hath God also to the Gentiles. Do you realize that that is saying to you and to me tonight that others have experienced God's mercy? God hath God also to the Gentiles. God had shown mercy to the people of Israel. And they had known God's salvation and God's mercy. But God's salvation is being expanded, being opened to the Gentiles. And therefore it is being said to the Gentiles, others have experienced God's salvation. And now you too can experience deliverance. The offer of salvation is being extended to you tonight. And dear sinner, do you realize that in this meeting here, you are surrounded by men and women who have experienced God's mercy? And I am saying to you, others have experienced God's salvation.
And you can as well. You turn with me to Matthew 9 and the verse 13. Matthew 9 and the verse 13. And I want you to see with me here the connection that is made between God's mercy and repentance. Matthew 9 and the verse 13. And Christ speaks, he says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Do you see that tonight, dear sinner? Repentance is given from the mercy of God. And therefore you should pray that God will be merciful to you. Like that wretched sinner in the Word of God who was in the temple and he was praying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And you ask God tonight from the depth of your heart to deliver you from your sin. And God is a merciful God. Repentance is a gift. But then I want you to see as well with me that repentance is directed to God. Repentance is directed to God. We read in our text, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." The word repentance in our text essentially means a change of mind. A change of mind. This change of mind is a change regarding man's view of God. For sinful men view God as one to be rebelled against, as one to be rejected. And therefore, repentance is primarily a change of attitude, a change of heart toward God. And that change of heart towards God then has the effect of changing the sinner's view of himself and changing his view of sin. You see, when the sinner experiences genuine repentance, sin is then viewed from God's perspective. Now let me just pause and ask you, is it not true, dear sinner, tonight, that you think that your sin is not really that bad? Or that there are worse out there in the world than you? Is it not true that many today think that because God is a God of love, then He is just going to accept men and women in their sin no matter what? And is it possible tonight that you love your sin, you enjoy it, you want to indulge more in it, and because of that then, you're not prepared to get right with God? And is that the reason then tonight, whether or not you are here and you are not saved? It's because you love your sin too much, and you're not prepared to give it up. And your mind is set upon your sin, and it is set against God. And that is why you need to repent. Because when sin is viewed as God sees it, it becomes abhorrent. It becomes evil. It becomes wicked. It becomes something that the sinner grieves over and is distraught over. And he comes to a point where he hates it. And he turns away from it to God. You see, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul's meaning is when he speaks in Romans 7 and he says that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Do you realize tonight that sin is seen in all of its darkness, in all of its horror, when it is compared to the holy glory of God? And when it is compared to the holy nature of God. Perhaps that's the reason why tonight you think your sin is not that bad. And you justify yourself. And yet it is true that if you were to examine yourself before the infinitely holy nature of God, who is perfect, in whom is no sin, and is in such a light that all the horror and wickedness of your sin is exposed. If you have never seen your sin, then you need to look to the law of God. And the reason His law is righteous and holy and good is because the law of God manifests the perfect nature of God. Sinner, if you want to know what God is like, then go to the law. And there is displayed the perfection of God and the holiness of God. You see, tonight, dear sinner, the law of God condemns you because it demands your obedience. And is it not true that you have not obeyed God? Let me ask you that tonight. Can you say honestly that you have obeyed God in your life? And if you're honest, you will say that you haven't. And therefore, God is offended by such a life. Dear sinner, do you understand that? God is the one offended by sin. And therefore, in repentance, the sinner needs to confess his sin to God. And repentance is directed towards the one who has been offended. You see, what is it that David did in Psalm 51 when he confessed his sin? He said, "Unto thee and thee only have I sinned." And you think about what that means, because David had wronged Uriah. He'd murdered him. He'd committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had deceived the people of Israel. And yet he says in Psalm 51 that his sin was against God. You understand that tonight? Sin does affect others, and it has an effect upon you. But primarily the great tragedy of sin is it is against God. You see, sin is the transgression of the law of God. And therefore, sin must be repented to God. To God. Oh yes, dear sinner, your contention is not with me tonight. It's with the one you've sinned against. Do we not read in Acts 20 in the verse 21 that the apostles preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? But then furthermore, repentance is directed to God because He is the one who forgives sin. We read in 1 John 1 in the verse 9, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, God alone can forgive sin. And so then it is foolishness for you to confess your sin and repent to anyone else. And it doesn't matter if it's your best friend or your family member or whoever it is. And yes, let me say it. It does not matter if it is a priest who claims to forgive your sin. What folly to do so. For what good will it do for you? What good will it do to confess your sin to a priest? Because if you do so, you will still remain condemned in your sin from God's perspective. And is that not what counts? Is that not what counts, sinner? You see, repentance is directed to God because He is the one. He is the one who can forgive your sin. And therefore, don't flee to men, but flee to God. and seek forgiveness from the one who can truly pardon you and forgive you. Repentance is directed to God, but then I finish tonight with my third and final point, and it is this, that repentance leads to Christ. Repentance leads to Christ. We read in our text, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." You see, the repentance that is in view here is a repentance that leads to everlasting life. It is a repentance that eventuates in the sinner receiving everlasting life. And why is that? It is because it is a repentance that leads to Christ. Do we not find throughout the New Testament that repentance and faith, or repentance and believing in Christ, are joined together? It is always that way. As the gospel is preached, men and women are exhorted to repent and to believe, and that is the gospel message. And so true repentance then leads the sinner to embrace Jesus Christ. You see, the sinner needs a Savior who can rescue him from the sin that he is repenting of. And only Jesus Christ can do that. True repentance then makes the sinner rest upon Christ. You see, a consciousness of sin, a consciousness of sin should drive you to Christ. And drive you to God for mercy. You look with me in Acts 26 and the verse 20. Acts 26 and the verse 20. Acts 26 and the verse 20 here. The Apostle Paul is speaking of his ministry. He says, "But showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, and here's his message, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance." Well, that's what you need to do tonight, sinner. Not only repent, but turn to God. And receive this repentance that is unto life. And the reason why repentance leads to Christ is because Christ meets the need of the repentant sinner. You see, sinners are under a double obligation. They were born under the law, and therefore they are required to fulfill the law. And yet sinners could not do that. They sinned against God. And so they are under this double obligation, not only to fulfill the law perfectly, but to satisfy the penalty of the broken law. And that is death. And yet the hopeless fact for sinners is that they are completely unable to do either. But thank God. Thank God, Jesus Christ has met that need by his life and by his death. You see, sinner, tonight, by faith, you can receive his perfect righteousness, which Jesus Christ merited by his perfect life, and you can have your sins dealt with by his substitutionary death. That means his death was in your place. Do you realize that tonight, dear sinner, that Christ can meet your need? You need one who can give you a perfect righteousness. You need one who can deal with the penalty of the broken law. And yet in Christ, both are met. Oh, then, should you not flee to him tonight? Not only does he meet the need of sinners, but Christ is the one who gives life. You see, this is a repentance unto life. And did not our Lord say of believers, "I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish"? Listen, dear sinner. Oh, listen to me tonight. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And is it not true that you don't want to perish? Do you not want to be delivered? Do you not want to experience what it is like to have the Lord deliver you? If that is the case, flee to Christ tonight. You see, for the repentant sinner, conscious of all of his spiritual deadness, Christ offers what he desires most. For Christ offers everlasting life and the hope of heaven. Do you desire that? Do you long to be delivered from your sin? Are you this night wearied and bowed down under the guilt that your sin brings, and you long to be delivered from it? Oh, dear sinner, flee to Christ, the one who can meet your need and to give to you everlasting life. Oh, sinner, heed this message. You need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close by asking you tonight, are you unrepentant? You here in this meeting tonight and your heart is hard. And even as I have presented this message to you, you are still unrepentant. For if you go out of this meeting tonight unconcerned, it is an evident token that you are unrepentant. And you see, the terrible thing for you is that an unrepentant heart is the sad sign of a lost state. If you continue on not repenting, rejecting this message, refusing to obey the Lord, and if you die in such a state, you will be ushered into a lost eternity. And so I'm saying to you tonight from the Word of God that you need to humble yourself before God. Oh yes, I know that the sinner is filled with pride. And bowing before God and humbling himself before God is something that you do not want to do because your heart is hard against God. Well, yes, but unless you do so, you will not be saved. You need to confess your sin to God tonight. Confess to Him your need of deliverance, and God will have mercy on repentant sinners. Do you realize that there is mercy with God? There's mercy with God. And will you not then respond to that mercy tonight? And put your faith in Jesus Christ and cry unto Him for salvation. You see, dear sinner, tonight there is a repentance that is unto life, a repentance that leads to Christ, and that is the repentance that you need to exercise tonight. Oh, hear the word of God. Heed it. Come in confession to God. Ask Him to be merciful to you tonight. Do that, sinner, for the salvation of your soul. Let us just pray. This meeting comes to a close. Dear sinner, tonight you have been confronted with your need to confess your sin and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize, dear sinner, that's the only way that you're going to be saved? And if within your heart tonight you desire that the Lord will have mercy upon you, then in that seat right now, you ask God to have mercy upon you and give to you the gift of repentance and faith. Those who truly seek the Lord, they will find him. And so you seek tonight. You cry out to him. If you're concerned about your soul, and you want to speak to me, I'll be happy to talk to you, or people here in this meeting that you know, or the elders of this congregation. If you are concerned about your soul, do not leave until you have put these matters right, and your soul is safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee that God has been merciful. Though men and women have sinned and turned against the Lord, yet he has been gracious and provided a way of escape. Father, we do pray that you will continue on to speak to the unconverted tonight. Lord, we do pray that you will awaken their hearts and mind to their need of Jesus Christ. And we pray that the Spirit of God will regenerate them, Lord, and give to them a heart that loves Jesus Christ. Lord, bless thy word that has gone forth, we pray. And Lord, we ask as thy people that, Lord, you will continue to be with us as we leave this house. We pray for thy presence day by day. And we pray for thy Spirit to be amongst us. Oh, Lord, continue, we pray, to bless us as thy people, and extend thy kingdom, we pray. Lord, we ask all these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.